Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Coronation and hosted on JitteryMonkey.com. Find it on iTunes, find it on Stitcher, find it on Coronation.com or JitteryMonkey.com. But wherever you go, take us with you. We are your second Coronation. I was going to say second favorite, and probably not far off. But we're the latter half of the week podcast on Coronation with our friends at the Big Red Cobcast that dropped the front half of the week. We're your weekend especial. And my name is Greg Mahochko, joined as always by my good friend, fellow Husker fan, and longtime broadcast buddy, Mr. Brian Toll. Brian, as we record this Friday night, because somebody decided that Friday'd be a great time to record, the Nebraska baseball team is 1-1. Cade Warner is a walk-on for the Nebraska Cornhusker football team, and Nebraska ball is still better than the women's basketball team, so there's that.
I think we found our favorite name.
Cade Warner?
On the baseball team. No.
Oh.
There's this kid who got a couple RBIs in the second game for Nebraska. He's a freshman out of Omaha. And I wrote about him in the recap.
Come back to me, Brian.
It's even better than DiCaprio Boodle, maybe. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready? Play third base. I have to get to it. See, we're so prepared here at Coronation.
Yeah, I thought you'd be ready.
You see, what's kind of odd.
You asked me if recording this. I mean, it's no Kobe Buffalo meat.
No, but God, that's a weird name. I mean, you know, if you think about that, how do you like your meat, buffalo meat? You like, man, isn't that redundant?
Medium. Do you think? Although, I'm not trying to insinuate, but do you think that there's a little Native American in there? I mean, that's kind of a.
I would tend to believe so.
I mean, that's such a unique. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Name. I'm there. Ready?
Yeah, okay, fine.
Ready. Mojo Haggy. Mojo.
I don't even know if that's up there with Chongo.
Chongo was disappointing.
I know, but if you told our Big Red Cobcast friend Ryan that it was better name than DiCaprio Boodles, he would riot. He would interrupt our show just to, you know, air his grievances like it's Festivus.
I told him to drink decaf earlier today. What else is he going to do to me?
I don't know.
Let's think about it. You know, Mojo, come on. He's from Omaha. How can it be a bad name? Mojo.
Oh, I mean, I'm on board.
He's got his mojo working.
And it's a true freshman or redshirt? I don't know how it works
in baseball.
I'm not sure.
All I know is it's a freshman out of Omaha.
Do they, stupid question, but do they redshirt in college baseball? I mean,
I would think so. It's probably more like an injury-based thing.
That's true.
Just because the clock tends to be so short, you know?
Because, of course, in baseball, it's different rules because you could be drafted out of high school yet go, you know, still play in college, things like that. So it's just weird.
You know what's weird?
Go ahead.
You know, we originally planned on recording this Valentine's Day.
I don't think we ever planned on recording on Valentine's Day. Like, I don't know about you, but I had other plans for Valentine's Day. Now, despite the fact that they didn't actually occur,
I was going to say they go unfulfilled, sir.
I'm not going to get into any more detail about it. But we could have recorded, you know, theoretically Monday night or Wednesday night. I mean, just 10 o'clock on a Friday night for a 10 o'clock Saturday morning publish, man. We got to wrap this up. I've been up all day.
Come on.
I'm old. I was watching Cheers.
You're old. You are old. Which one? Who's older here?
Yeah, well, that's not the point. I feel old.
No. You feel old. You look old, too, but doesn't mean you're older.
I was sitting over there under a blanket on my couch with my two dogs, and I was watching Cheers.
You just want to go where everybody knows your name?
You know, I think that song's more about Norm and less about Sam Mayday Malone, because Norm was the one who, when he entered the bar, everybody said, Norm!
They're never glad you came.
Not for Norm, they were. Me? Eh. That's why I probably wouldn't be. I'd be more like Cliff Clavin, who I always thought that he was, you know, like a well-liked individual on the show until I actually started watching the show. And they really bag on that guy.
Yeah. Anyway. You ever watch the series finale of it?
No, I'm working through. I'm in season 6. I'm in the first season with Kirstie Alley.
Okay, I won't ruin it. It's just I thought the series finale. And don't ruin it for me in the comments.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't be a jerk.
I thought the series finale of it was really. It worked, but it didn't work. And when you watch it, you'll see what I mean.
I'll be there because in about a month.
In about a month. Yeah.
Maybe more. Probably more.
You know what I still think is the best series finale ever?
Are you going to say MASH or ALF?
I was actually going to say MASH. Well, think about it. You think about it with MASH. He had to go crazy.
Hawkeye
had to go nuts.
He always was a little nuts.
But, I mean, it was a culmination of all the crap he had to go through.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to throw this out there, show my age a little bit. Best series finale, Saved by the Bell, when they got married.
I never saw that.
Oh, spoiler alert, Zach and Kelly get married.
Okay.
It's after the college years. And it's one of those, made-for-TV 90-minute specials or something.
You know what the other good one was?
ALF.
In my time? No.
What do you mean,
ALF
no?
ALF left the planet. How's that?
You don't know that for sure.
No, I know.
He was surrounded.
Another planet besides Earth.
He was surrounded.
Family ties.
All right. I'll give you that. I was recently...
Because when Alex P. Keaton leaves the household, Alex doesn't live here anymore, and you kind of tell the house changes and such like that. So,
trying to think of one that really jumps out to me. And I'll tell you what, just because fresh in the memory, because we just finished watching it again on Netflix, we watched the entire run of Friends. So, seeing Ross and Rachel get together at the end, finally, that was special.
Yeah, you know what was a good one? If I have it right, I might not have it right. Magnum P.I.
You're going to have to refresh. I didn't watch a whole lot of Magnum P.I. that I remember.
Where the one dude was trying to get married and he couldn't say I do. And I mean, if you don't remember, some people might. That was an underrated show, I thought, Magnum P.I.
I don't. As much as I enjoyed the show growing up, I don't even remember the series finale of MacGyver.
MacGyver, he went like wacko.
No,
he went searching after some. He went looking out for an island in Shangri-La. If I remember right, I have it right,
MacGyver.
Yes.
Interesting. Now you make me want to go back and watch that. Because I just don't believe MacGyver had it in him to go crazy.
What was the one with Scott Bakula?
That was Quantum Leap.
That was almost the perfect one because he leapt from person to person in the final show. He was actually himself.
See, spoiler alert, I hadn't got there.
Well, he was himself. There you go.
Granted, again, it's a 30-year-old show, and if I hadn't got there...
I was
going
to say, what the hell, man?
Hey, this is a Nebraska Cornhusker podcast, if you're just tuning in. And on occasion, we talk about the
it
teams...
It is the offseason, so...
Right, but there are other athletics going on. As we mentioned, baseball, starting out 1-1, and they finish up the rest of their two-game. It's a four-game series to open things up against UC Riverside, not Riverdale, which I really wanted to throw that in and make a few edits in the series preview just to see who would pick up on it. Do you know the reference of Riverdale?
No, but why don't you tell us?
I will tell you, Snorri McSnorrigan. Riverdale is where Archie, Jughead, Betty, Veronica, Moose, etc. It's the home of Archie in Archie Comics. Now you know. It's also, I think they made it a CW show. So.
Yeah, it's funny. I had a classmate about CW.
Mm-hmm.
I had a classmate from high school named Nate Hayden. He was in one of the original CW programs.
Really?
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it.
I'm going to find out.
Because he kept going, man, you're going to see a lot of commercials for this. And I'm like, okay. He goes, no, you're going to see a lot of commercials for this show. I said, is it one of those where we're going to see so many commercials it's going to bomb? He goes, man, I don't know. I just know I'm on the pilot show and they can't ever take that away from me. So, okay. And I'm not sure how long it went. I don't think it went very, very long. So
how would you spell Nate's last name?
Haden.
Aha. Uh-huh.
His mother was one of the eighth grade teachers at Cathedral School in Lincoln.
Nate, born Nathaniel Hayden, grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska, as the oldest of four children. Uh-huh. So he was in, let's see his, this is IMDb. He has 8 acting credits. Most recently, 2008's Meet the Spartans, where he was a Ryan Seacrest lookalike. He was on the Comedy Central show, Tim and Eric, Awesome Show, Great Job, back in 07 for an episode. He was on a show called Desire.
That's probably it.
Yeah, because before that you get Silver Bells, Almost Normal. He was the basketball hunk in Almost Normal. Does that remind you of Nate? Was he a basketball hunk in high school?
Yeah, he was kind of nerdy.
Okay.
He was kind of one of those guys that was really kind of nerdy and...
Apparently, he grew out of that.
10 years later, about 10-12 years later, you find him, and you're like, "Man, you're not nerdy anymore, and you're an actor. Cool."
Huh.
Where did I fail in life? You know.
Well, you stuck with being nerdy, I suppose.
Sure.
Too soon.
Probably, but it's truth.
So we're becoming father son. You.
Yeah. Really. So I have an issue.
Okay. Are you deflecting? Are you changing the topic already?
Well, we're a Nebraska podcast.
Okay.
Here's the problem I have with Nebraska's game today versus Ohio State.
Okay.
At 5:00 Central today. Columbus has been, and I think you can save baseball on this, but Columbus has been the main shop of horrors for Nebraska athletics since the Big Ten move.
That's aside from the one come from behind victory in football with, Joe Bowserman or something.
Yeah,
QB.
That happened in Lincoln,
right? But there hasn't been. I mean, as far as that team, there hadn't been a whole lot of success against that university, except women's bowling, and. Yeah. Rifle, things like
and
that.
Bowling has nothing to do with Ohio State because Ohio State's not an NCAA. It's a club sport, more like a.
So what you're saying is Nebraska's undefeated against Ohio State just on forfeit.
If that even makes sense in the world, yeah.
Yeah.
But let's think about this. Madison, it's kind of the same thing. That, it kind of changed a little bit this past year in football.
Had some better luck, yeah.
But, last time, you have Route 406 to think about. Nebraska was never really, I remember right, never really kind of competed very well in the new place, the Kohl Center. So, I like to see Nebraska, and Ohio State's not that good this year. They're probably an NIT team at best. But then again, so is Nebraska. So, I kind of think this is kind of a little statement game for Nebraska because they're back to full strength, save Roby minus the 50-50 ankle. You know, he rolled the other night. So, against the Ohio State team that they played really well against in Lincoln's save, Glenn Watson falling down and allowing a basket with 2 seconds to go. And yeah, that's part of the bad luck, but, you know, it's not like Nebraska played horrible that game. You know, Ohio State played not bad. Nebraska played not bad. It's just that was the luck Nebraska had at the end of the game. So, yeah, I just want to see Nebraska actually just show up on the road in a game that they're probably not expected to win too much, you know?
That would have been like Michigan State last year.
Yeah, but, you know, Nebraska's luck versus Michigan State's been way better against Ohio State.
True. For whatever reason, you know, up until this year, where Michigan State, I think, finally, you know, got that monkey off their back. But the Indiana game, and you can say what they want about Indiana now, but Indiana, when Nebraska played them, they were number 17 in the country, and Nebraska went there and beat them. You know, Maryland's
still pretty good.
So, I mean, this is a weird Nebraska ball team because they're playing, I mean, Purdue was a home game, but they're playing the good teams tight, and they're playing the bad teams like shit. You know, playing to the competition is a horrible way to, you know, strategize, you know, in game plan. You want to play like you're playing the best competition every night, and this team just has not had that consistency.
You want to play like your dog is tap dancing in the background.
Lucky, you know, she's a happy puppy most of the time. I'm sorry, we have vinyl/ hardwood
this
flooring.
This team's just, you know, they're young. It's getting to a point again, though. You kind of the one thing I worry about this team, and it's not so much this year, because I think I'm thinking unless Tim Miles falls off the face of the earth, you know, he stays, okay, and he's got at least one more year, and the core replaces. But, you know, there's, you know, we've kind of wondered when Siobhan left who would step up, okay. It's been Ty for the most part. Glenn's helped out some, and a couple other guys have helped out some, but it's been Ty for the most part. Now when Ty leaves, is it going to be Glenn? Is it going to be an Aerobi kid who, you know, remember he was hurt during camp?
I think the Roby's going to have a big sophomore year. I really do. And Glenn's going to have, you know, continued improvement. Ed Morrow Jr. is going to have a big year next year, I think. You know, those are just three names. And obviously, you know, there are more than three guys on the team.
And you got the Copeland kid coming in from, if I remember right, Miami.
Georgetown,
yeah. Copeland kid and there's a kid from Miami, I want to say. What's his last name?
Miami U or Miami?
Miami of Florida.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah, U.
Well, I don't know the U. Okay.
No, but I mean, so, but is he coming? Never mind. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and then you got a recruiting class that's pretty good. The Atkinson, is that how you pronounce it? Nana Atkinson.
Yep, from Bowling Brook, which I'm had an
opportunity.
I guess
you would know. He's been pretty good.
I mean, Bowling Brook is up by Chicago. I mean, it's one of the Chicago burbs. Now that's probably not the right word. It's within a half hour, I think, of Chicago. Would be, I don't think they'd quite be in the same like league as like the Chicago Simians, which is where, you know, just a ton of quality kids come out of. But Bolingbrook was actually down in this area the first Saturday of February, playing in a little shootout with some area teams here, and I had the opportunity to go, except that it was my niece's birthday party that night, so obviously family first, so I didn't get a chance. But I had interest in going there and watching that game and watching this. You know, the guy that I talked to who covers Illinois prep basketball, and he was the one who told me he scooped Coronation. I was so embarrassed for all of you because he said that this kid was had you know committed to Nebraska, but he said he had very positive things about this player. So he could come in, and I don't know if he can contribute immediately, but I know he can contribute. Might be a bench player next year.
So is it 10 miles NCAA or bus for 10 miles next year?
Next
or
year,
at least be in the NCAA talker bust.
I think you've got to finish in the top half of the conference, which I think he can do. I mean,
because
remember
something about 10 miles. He's finished higher than 10th exactly once in the conference. That was the other one to the NCAAs.
Right. I don't know if it's NCAA or bust because I mean I know that they're finally putting an emphasis on winning in the men's basketball area in that sport. I just don't know. I mean, if it's football, do we say if you don't get to Indianapolis, he's fired? I mean, that would be like saying not next year but the year after that, theoretically, if Mike Riley doesn't make it to the Big Ten championship, he's fired.
It's never stopped anybody before.
That's true. But
hell, this year you can say, is Darren Erstad an NCAA team or not? Because if he's not, he may be fired.
Also possible. I could see if they finish 11, in let's say double figures in ranking in the Big Ten next year, hot seat for sure. If they don't make the tournament, I mean, if they're that far down in the conference, they're not making the tournament. They're not making the NIT. But I also think that with the players that we're talking about and the growth that they'll have, with another year, I think that they could be an NCAA team. I really do. And
if they get bubble bursted, I'm willing to live with that. Kind of depends on how it happens. If it just so happens that, hey, the resume wasn't good enough and you did everything you could, that's one thing. If it gets to the point where hey, just win one, two game in the Big Ten tournament, you're in and you shit the bed, well, it's probably – I mean, style points matters here, but I think definitely, they have to have tournament talk.
Oh, sure.
If you're a fringe NIT team, then that's a problem, I think, personally.
Not arguing with you there at all. Wanting to go back real quick to talk about this Illinois kid. By the way, this shootout that they had at the beginning of February, they had commits to a couple of Big Ten teams, including Illinois and Purdue, as well as Nebraska. Nana Ackington, I'm looking to see what I'm trying to find out what he had to say about it. But I don't. Here's the thing, because maybe it's because I'm patient. I don't know, but maybe because I love Tim Miles and I've loved what he's done with the basketball program since he's been there. But I don't ever see myself calling for Tim Miles' head. Does that make any sense?
It does. What I would say is this: he has a brand new arena. He's the only one that's been in it. It's his recruiting classes. It's his, it's beyond his program now.
Mm-hmm.
the guy that hired him is not there anymore.
It's true.
And it's nice to have a full house to play in front, but when that full house starts dwindling, there's a problem. I'm not saying it's dwindling like now, but there's a reason the Doc Sadler left, and that was because they had a brand new arena to sell. And Sadler Ball wasn't winning very much in Pinnacle Bank Arena. My issue is the Garner Webbs, the Incarnate Words, the embarrassment, you know.
And I still think that, you know, that I don't want to call it a fluke. I don't know. I never actually went back and watched that game. I don't know if the team was gassed. The team just wasn't up. The team looked past them. I think that was more mentally.
That shouldn't happen.
No, I know it shouldn't. You're right. But I don't have any explanation as to why it happened. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if they, like I said, if they got outplayed. I think what would be the worst. And again, if you watched the game, I think it would be the worst, especially for Tim Miles, if they looked like they were out coached. Now, if they were out hustled, you know, I mean,
I think that's worse.
You think out hustling worse than being out coached?
I do, because you know sometimes you don't have the right game plan, and you know your players can hustle, but if they just, you know, do the wrong thing, you didn't have the right plan, or it didn't fall the right way. That's one thing. It's when your players quit on you,
mm-hmm.
with lack of effort, with mailing it in, with not listening, with all that stuff.
And like I said, I'm the first to say I didn't watch the game, so I don't know what the effort looked like. I don't know if, you know, they were tired. I don't know if I just don't know. But I don't want to see, I mean, just like anybody else, I don't want to see losses like that ever happen again. You know, those aren't fun. Going back to Nana Ackington, let's see. This is from prephoops.com. My buddy Scott Burgess, who I've known for a number of years and does a really good job. Actually used to have a show, one of the early shows, one of the first shows on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. It was called On the Recruiting Trail, and all they did was talk about Illinois kids and where they were heading. But he says, you know, it's a Bolingbrook 2017 small forward, informed he's committed to the Cornhuskers, and the quote given was, "I chose Nebraska because I felt the most comfortable with their program and opportunity. My family also felt most comfortable with them. I prayed about it and God answered," end quote. He says that Ackington is one of the premier wing scorers in the state of Illinois. At his size, he has a powerful and athletic perimeter scoring game, big-time jump shooter, and plays above the rim in transition. He ran with the Hoopers/Celtics on the NY2LA Association, where he was one of the league's leading scorers, the state's number 8 overall prospect, primed for a huge senior campaign with Bolingbrook. This was written back in the middle of September before the season actually began. So positive things there said about a big-time get for Nebraska from the state of Illinois.
I'm going to say this is one of my recruiting peeves. Okay, and this falls into football. Every recruit is a big-time get.
Well, yeah.
Every god-dang recruit. When have you ever heard a guy say, "Well, this is not a very good, you know, recruit for Nebraska"? Give me a break.
No, I know. they
spin. Oh, huge guy. Sure it is. Slugger.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it, number 8 overall prospect, he has the and I don't know, you know, I didn't pay this close. I'll say this. In my time out in Shadron, Nebraska, shout out to the Panhandle. There was a kid there who he was, I believe, a freshman or sophomore when I left, so I didn't really get to see him play at the varsity level, but a big kid, 6'10", 6'11", name is Elliot Eliason, shout out. Anyway, he went to play for Minnesota and had a, you know, modest career there. You know, why wouldn't he picked up by Nebraska? I don't know. But I say that to say this. In Illinois, there is Mr. and Miss Basketball. Does Nebraska have something similar to that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, and admittedly, I think Nebraska, or not Nebraska, Illinois is much bigger, you know, basketball state, a lot more emphasis on it. And to Illinois' credit, there, university is relatively centrally located, But so, you know, Ackington has the possibility to, you know, I mean, top eight prospect in September. He could potentially be a Mr. Basketball in the state of Illinois. There was a young lady from Mount Carmel, Illinois, a couple years back, Tyra Buss, who went on to play at Indiana. She was like a state, you know, scoring champion. She had the, you know, career record in points. So she was Miss Basketball for a couple of years in a row. But it's a good basketball state, and that's why, you know, especially in the Chicago area, but the Metro East, kind of where I'm at now, they're getting looked at as well. There's a kid who his school is right next to my church, and he's gonna stay local and play at St. Louis University, but he had offers from, you know, other bigger programs as well. So anyway, tangent.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I do think Nebraska, you know, it's kind of weird. I always think Nebraska can help themselves because I see other states doing things. Like, the main explanation I have is football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, living in Texas, you kind of, you know, football isn't so much a sport as in they treat it like a class.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, and what I mean by that is they, you know, a period is spent for football. You know, second mm-hmm. period, third period, you know, and what I mean things like, you know, game, you know, film prep, conditioning, weightlifting, you know, such like that. And that's a whole year. And these, and yeah, Texas does have spring football for their high schoolers.
Hmm.
And I know everybody says, well, you know, you got to have kids other play sports. They do. And no one says you can't, but, you know, I always think that Nebraska could do themselves a whole big favor, you know, by borrowing some of that, you know, like I know the 7-on-7 is starting to get popular, you know, but the offense really doesn't kick around with Nebraska like that when it comes to high schoolers, you know.
Right.
And I think it hurts for something like, you know, when places come and they're running a spread or they're running, you know, I formation West Coast pro style offense, and they go to a town and they see power eye beer football option. Look, you know, and I'm not saying you can't get players out of that, because you can, you know, but I always wonder what Nebraska prep wise can do to make their players more visible. You know, like you said, Illinois, Indiana basketball. And yeah, you're not going to get to the level of Illinois or Indiana, because their kids are really good right there. You know, and they're going to stay home. They're going to stay at the Purdue's. They're going to stay with the Hoosiers. You're going to stay at the Illinois. You're going to
go
to the Kentucky's and everything like that. But there's something you can do to get these kids a little more visibility, you know.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, to where, for lack of a better term, you know, and maybe – maybe there is a disparity, you know, talent-wise between, you know, the kids. And I'm sure that there's a pretty sizable talent discrepancy between the kids who are playing in Chicago and the kids who are playing in Kearney.
That's just
common sense.
Sure volume of people that live in Chicago versus live in Kearney, you know. But I'm... it's hard to believe that, you know, and maybe this comes where, you know, oh, why is Nebraska let so much talent go out of the state? Well, you know, it's easy to hindsight say some of this stuff. Okay.
I actually asked Bill Callahan that question.
You know, Drew Ott, perfect example. Yeah, Drew Ott, you know, if Nebraska, he went to Nebraska and he shit the bed, you know.
Then we everybody wouldn't would be
talking
claiming
about him like he went to Iowa and he did well.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know if I've ever heard that.
Yeah, I guess you could say Danny Woodhead, but, you know, if Nebraska missed, then Iowa missed, then North Dakota State missed, then Wyoming missed, then Boise State missed. I mean,
Kansas, you know, State.
Exactly. There's Colorado State. You know, there's more schools than just Nebraska that whiff on some of these kids.
Let me.
You know, but the only one you ever hear is Nebraska.
Sure. Yeah, and I think for in a case because I watched Danny at Shattern State for, you know, most of the time that he was out there, it was either Nebraska or Shattern State for him. He was either going to get a scholarship offer from Nebraska and go and play there as a running back, or, you know, because I know they asked him to walk on, and he respectfully declined because I think they wanted him to do, you know, return specialist, you know, things like that. Not to say he couldn't excel at that. See what he's done. He's done pretty well for himself. But he, you know, the opportunity his dad went to Shattern State. I think his mom and dad met at Shattern State. His older brother was at Shattern State at the time. He was a year or two ahead of him. You know, they. I don't want to say what I was thinking about saying because I can't guarantee it was right. It was more rumor and innuendo. But you know, he got his full ride to Shattern State, and you know, was back to back Harlan Hill Trophy winner, and did some good things up there, and obviously got himself a free agent contract with the Jets and so on. You know, his pro career is still being written, but
if you look at it in this cycle, it was like the pop kid out of who decided to walk out of Nebraska versus take a scholarship in North Dakota State. You know, it's really hard to turn down a school that is going to pay for it from
start to finish
the second you step on campus. Yeah,
sure.
I mean, there's no guarantee that, you know, you're ever getting that scholarship second, third year. It's probable, yes. I mean, possible, yeah. But, you know, definite, nope.
And that's the tough thing too. I mean, and I'm definitely putting the cart before the horse here. But let's say little Garrett Mahochko is some kind of beast on the gridiron and gets offers from, like you said, maybe like a North Dakota State. I'm not delusions of grandeur here, but and a walk as a parent. You know, obviously you want your kid just to go wherever they want to go and be happy. But at the same time, I'm looking at the budget. I'm like, man, I don't know. That junior college that offered you a full ride, or, you know, that D2 school that offered you a full ride is looking pretty good. I don't know if we can afford sending you to State University.
Well, there's a lot of schools now that are, you know, oh, they want you to walk in Nebraska? Why don't you come here, Wyoming?
Yeah.
You know? Great, you know, that's Wyoming's, you know.
Well, here's a name that you'll be, you'll be familiar with, McKendree University.
McKendree, yes, one of the best bowling teams in America.
Yeah,
and coached by Brian O'Keefe, who is a Team USA coach, current junior Team USA head coach, and an alumni of
University of Nebraska.
University of Nebraska.
But they have a pretty decent little football school. They're NAIA, so that's a whole new set of rules. But they're also, you know, a half hour away. So I also understand the appeal of, you know, wanting to get away when you're that age. But here's a question that I have for you, and this is more for the Coronation editorial side of things. Because, as I mentioned, you know, Illinois is a big basketball place. You know, go back to 2005 where they were undefeated up until the national championship game, losing to North Carolina. You look at the Bulls, you know, Chicago and Jordan and all that stuff. It helped define that culture.
And then they ran Bruce Weber out of town. But anyway.
Yeah, he took his orange jackets and he got the shit out of here.
To Man-fucking-Hatton, Kansas. Yeah.
Oh, well.
The question is?
Question is, Nebraska is not a basketball state, per se. They're a wrestling state, I would say, in the winter time.
You can argue for it.
You get out to the western half of the state, and while there's good attendance for basketball games, there's just as good for the wrestling duels. So shout out to all the listeners who enjoy wrestling, and especially when you take look at the high profile. We just talked about Jordan, you know, with the Bulls, but another Jordan, Burroughs, University of Nebraska. He's a Olympic champion, world champion, was a national champion in Nebraska. The master of the double leg takedown. Do we as a coordination staff need to do more to elevate the profile of Nebraska wrestling on the site?
I don't know.
Okay, just asking.
And you know, I'll say this. Yeah, we could elevate it, but guess what?
People already know because they already follow it?
We already get our ass kicked by the neighbors next door.
Oh, that town to the east?
Yeah. The city of Iowa.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't mean that from the competitor. I mean, editorially speaking, which I think I just made up a word. Could we do a
the
better
grammar Nazi made up a word? Sweet.
I do it all the time. Could we in coordination do a better job?
I don't know. Maybe.
All right.
Ask John.
All right, John. You're listening. I'm sure you stuck around this long.
He's drunk.
Probably not. Poor guy can't even have bacon anymore, right?
I don't know.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
Let's wrap this up. This says that drop in 12 hours. I got.
Yeah, he wanted to go 30 minutes ago, he wanted to go to bed. No. He's waxing poetic on why I don't cover wrestling more. Solid.
What's the takeaway from this episode, Brian?
The Brian just got his ass ripped on a podcast. Awesome.
I don't think that's what the takeaway is. And I didn't say you had to do it. I mean, if it needs to be done, I can certainly try. I'm just saying that, you know, it's a very popular sport in the state of Nebraska.
You know, it's a popular sport in the state of Nebraska, bowling.
Okay. I have some experience bowling in the state of Nebraska.
Do you?
Uh-huh. I bowled in a league for several years in Chattern.
Did you?
Monday nights. Yep. When it was football season, it was Monday Night Football on the TVs, and when it wasn't football season, it was typically Monday Night Raw.
That's cute.
Say goodnight, Brian. You're getting grouchy.
All right, good night, Brian. You're getting grouchy.
And that is it for episode number 24 of, I almost said Nerds United, but that's another delightful podcast you can catch here on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network if you made it this far.
He called me a nerds kid, so it works out well.
Yeah, crossover appeal. This has been the Five Heart Podcast. Have a great weekend. And reminding you, as we always do, the Five Heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.